Blog Talk Radio.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
For tuning in with me to another episode of Real Talk with Jam Green, First Ladies Edition. As your host, the man they call Jam Green, I want to say thank you all for tuning in with me once again, of course. Now, before we get started on this important topic of tonight's episode, which is Professor James Benz's article on Nancy Reagan. I want to remind everybody to spread the word of Real Talk all over the internet, whether it's in social networks, forums, the blogs, whatever. Spread it around like wildfire to let everybody know that it's in session, baby. Now, I know this is going to be like, there's going to be multiple parts or at least two parts to this whole thing, but I'm not sure how long I'm going to be reviewing this particular article, but it'll be in a few episodes in case this one doesn't cut. Now, the first half of this article is something that will have an allusion to the sources which I delved into earlier in the last broadcast. So, let's go ahead and talk about it, shall we? Now, Professor James Benz, he is that professor who, like I said, has written an article about Nancy Reagan. Now, let me explain why, for a second, because I get the feeling that Nancy Reagan is not always a nice lady that we thought of. Of course, that she does have her moments where she would be on the wrong side, like the dark side. For every first lady you encounter in history, there's always something in the closet that she's hiding. It's something we may overlook, something that the government's trying to hide. Who knows? But we here on Real Talk are investigating this as we speak. So, luckily I have an article posted here on the description that if you were to find this on the database, let's say jstor.org, you could look for it, just look for the title. Nancy Reagan, China Doll or Dragon Lady? Now, here's an abstract I'm going to cite for tonight, you know, just to give y'all a runner-up, all right? Because we're dealing with a professor from Washington Jefferson College who's written an important political science historical article here, and this is published in the Presidential Studies Quarterly, all right? Now, here's what it says, and I quote, "The first ladies have only recently started to receive appropriate academic attention for the important part they play in their husband's administration and their role as a national symbol. Yet first ladies are placed in an awkward situation. They have no clearly defined constitutional role, yet are often expected to advise their husband. However, if they seem to be asserting themselves too strongly, they are chastised as not having been elected. These conflicting expectations often place first ladies in paradoxical situations. This research, borrowing from the work of Thomas Cronin, examines that first ladies face. Each paradox is examined from a general historical perspective and then in detail using the example Nancy Reagan. When I read that abstract, I thought this is a pretty straightforward abstract, considering that first ladies don't always live up to their expectations according to their roles as first ladies. Now, I get that there are stereotypes associated with women since from the days of antiquity and the Middle Ages, like one of those stereotypes of submissive, always loyal to their husbands. Now, I can challenge that assumption because always is an automatic disqualifier when you say things about women and men, how you define gender relations throughout time and history. Nowadays, women are pretty much free to have their rights, claim their right to vote, to be in a workplace like everybody else. And I'm not sure about equal pay, though, but we're getting there because a lot of political stuff happens with gender gap in terms of wages and the glass ceiling. But that's a topic for another time. But it's relevant in that first ladies are not China doll stereotypes, okay? Now, Nancy Reagan, I suspect, would be like, to some degree or another, or the most degree, would be a dragon lady because she's assertive and she's willing to manipulate a situation to get something off. Do view her as a nice first lady, but she always has something dark in her mind, too. Nobody's perfect, just 411 here. Now, I'm going to be very complete here, and if I'm not complete, then feel free to call me out or correct me on this. Now, as I go through more on this article, based on what I've examined so far, please give me a call if you want to give out your insights as we go along. Just call in the following number, 347-855-8578. That's 347-855-8578. That, my friends, is the number to call here. Now, there's plenty of things we can do to illustrate a variety of things that we'll discuss. I do not expect everybody calling into this show to phrase ideas the way I do. Of course, I can just speak in terms of social science, but I can also speak normal English. Of course, I can also identify every point that I make. Now, what I'm trying to do, let's like with any other topic, I'm trying to show lots of information so that everyone recognizes correct things that they might have wrote, along with additional things that could have been written. Now, the objective here is for y'all to see where in Benz's article that I found relevant answers and how I summarize and synthesize what he wrote. Now, when you do research like this, we don't want to just string a set of quotations together because they tend to not speak for themselves. They must be interpreted by the writer. To synthesize means to put ideas together with connecting statements. Those connections are the logic and meaning that you, the writer, bring. All right? Now, I can tell you that on the abstract, this is a detailed case study about Nancy Reagan. So most of the content refers to her years in the White House, 1981 and 1989. Benz's introduction also includes examples of various first ladies to illustrate their roles, all taken from their White House years. Boy, when you read that article, there's several that are mentioned as played by the common versus cultured paradox. Examples include Dolly Madison, Abigail, Lucia, Adams, those first ladies. First ladies who specialize in cultural artistic activities that range from musical performances, such as Eleanor Roosevelt and Edith Wilson. There's Edith Roosevelt and Helen Taft. Performances by noted actors, that's Grace Coolidge. And preservation redecoration of the White House, that includes her, Mrs. Hoover, Pat Nixon, and Jackie Kennedy. Then, Professor gives a detailed sample of Jackie Kennedy and cultural events as a mission to upgrade the taste of a nation. This quotation illustrates Benz's use of an assessment by an expert analyst, Betty Carolee, to support the point he wants to make about Jackie Kennedy and to explain the concepts of elitism and tradition of elitist first ladies. When you think of elite, you tend to think about people higher than you, have more power and money than you. But let's not delve too much into that class warfare rhetoric. I mean, this is politically charged right there. Now, Benz compares poll approval ratings between Nancy Reagan and Rosalind Carter. He explores in detail the reasons for Nancy's disapprovals and negative rating. And in terms of causes, he briefly mentions several first ladies in their project. Lady Bird Johnson, Betty Ford, Rosalind Carter. And he then provides details about Nancy Reagan's anti-drug campaign. You know, the old days in which you see commercials or TV shows and movies that spread the message of don't do drugs. To me, that says any drug that is illegal or contraband, you should never use. Now, I can understand that it's not just a health problem, or it can be an economic. And interstate commerce is one of those things you'll look at, you know, when trying to study about things like marijuana or, you know, the legality of certain drugs like cocaine. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she's very concerned that the drug money thing with the CIA funneling it to the Contras in the Iran-Contra affair. Yeah. That's very controversial at best. Her husband, Ronald Reagan, did not know that. Yet he certainly knew, according to my research, he knew what the National Security Council has been doing. But the drug money, nah. Benz explores his central theme of the article, Criticism of Nancy for Role Transgression. Page 784, too involved is the word. Those are two words I'm looking for, okay? He reviews detailed samples of other first ladies and presidents who were criticized. Sarah and James Polk, Edith and Woodrow Wilson, Rosalind and Jimmy Carter. Benz discussed these types of strong first lady partnerships as precursors to Nancy and Ronald Reagan's relationship as first lady president. Now, similar to what you will see in Chapter 2 in Dr. Watson's The President's Wives, second edition, then this catch-22 situations, contradictory expectations, damned if you do, damned if you don't. These make it hard for first ladies to maintain job personal approval ratings because of conflicting expectations about how they should and should not behave. Like, which is and which is not. Which one should I fulfill first? Should I fulfill both? Yeah, those are the questions you'll be exploring here when you talk about expectations of first ladies. Benz's case study about Nancy Reagan explores the paradoxes she encountered and how she tried and succeeded to improve her approval rate. Now, for those of you who are not keeping up, but there's two paradoxes that I'll specifically address here for the sake of time. Number one, an uncommon person with a common touch. Paradox number two, active and involved, but not to the point of making her husband look weak. Yep, basic contradictions if you actually pay attention to the wording. Now, the evidence used by the author is this. Of course, we already covered a thesis. Oh, yeah, catch this thesis if you were to try to find this article and read through it. You'll get what I mean by that. Nancy Reagan's autobiography is used to support Dr. James. I don't know if I found out that he had a PhD, but of course, you can Google it up and search for his qualifications. Yeah, he does teach. So, Yeah. Anyways, the autobiographies, memoirs, like from the Reagan staff, like Peggy Noonan, Don Regan, Larry Speets, and Michael Beaver. They are the ones that happened to write about their experiences in the White House when dealing with Ronald Reagan and his wife, Nancy. Plus a popular magazine, several news magazines, you would find, if you were to look at the notes section, kind of like a works cited bibliography, Time Magazine, Newsweek, U.S. News and World Report, that they're found in the notes section. Scholarly books about first ladies, scholarly articles on first ladies and trends in public opinion about men and women jobs. Now, Vince has a good balance of scholarly works and personal accounts of participants, including Nancy's autobiography. He uses newspaper articles that criticize Nancy as evidence of the criticism. He uses a public opinion survey article as evidence of opinion trends. Keep in mind that opinions tend to be like bubbles. All right? Not everybody has to agree with them. And people who wanted to be, like, conforming to their own opinions would have to be in the bubble that they find. But, you know, public opinion polls can change and not very reliable because they're not so solid as they're, like fluid, as in a river flowing. It always changes. You know what I'm saying? It's flowing. Anyways, the main point of this article is that first ladies are subjected to contradictory expectations, standards, and modern first ladies like play contradictory roles. This trend will continue because of media attention and on celebrity status of first lady. These contradictions grow out of America's cultural expectations for women in general. Many Americans are troubled by powerful women, women working outside the home as professionals, and these attitudes impact expectations about first ladies. Another criticism is related to the role of transgression and the fact that the Constitution does not provide for first lady, and that the spouse is unelected, even though most campaign actively and are expected to campaign. Now, about Nancy Reagan, she erred by bringing Hollywood style to Washington and spending extravagantly during the economic downturn, or a contraction, you know, in the business cycle. She recovered through a smart media strategy and gridiron diner appearance, and by adding a significant project on drug use prevention. Now, what do we learn from Nancy's errors in recovery? Well, in public opinion and among Washington elites and commentators, limits exist in first lady activism and intervention in the president's job that should not be crossed. Crossing these somewhat invisible lines ignites harsh media criticism, especially questions about who elected her and a drop in approval rate. First ladies, remember, that doesn't mean that they're stuck with this criticism forever. That they can recover and revise or repackage their public image. So this implies there are second chances even in that office. First lady, Nancy crossed the line in Don Regan's firing and making Ronald Reagan look weak. How pathetic. Jesus Christ, man. This creates another paradox. First lady is supposed to be a vital, visible part of the campaign, but she's not elected because her name is not on the ballot. Now, do you remember me saying that the Constitution does not have the First Lady provision or anywhere in Article 2, anywhere in that piece of paper called the Constitution? No, you don't see First Lady other than the President of the United States. And, you know, you get the rest if you've read the Constitution, right? Now, of course, that if you have personal impressions on the Nancy Reagan article, I mean, I'm not going to necessarily say. James Spence really did a good job of sorting out his sources and synthesized them in his own way of spreading his ideas. Now, of course, that first ladies get to make their own decisions, and I'm proud that he considered that in his work. Now, when one, like I said before, when conducting research on political public figures, one must strive to find sources from universities and the government, as they tend to be reliable. That is definitely the case with Vince's article, even though he also included elite news magazines and even a pop culture magazine, People magazine in particular. But it's not really, I mean, he wouldn't stray from the path of, you know, being a scholar. I mean, if he's taking classes and he's writing papers for so long, you definitely know that he's got experience. I mean, Nancy Reagan has supporting criticism for his first role as First Lady of the White House. I mean, anti-drug campaign initiatives like that, she definitely has approval for that. This type of approval is not unfounded, as it had been a grand tradition of First Ladies adopting causes. But of course, that she's not without some criticism. She can overstep her boundaries at times, as she's, like I said, not perfect. She managed her husband's political affairs for him, but his feelings may not have always been considered. You know, I think making a president weak was not in the best interest of herself or the whole White House. I mean, it's sick, man. It's sick. Look, ladies, for you females, for female broadcasters who are listening to this thing, and, oh, I am an independent female who... How dare you say that about me and my first ladies in this nation? Hear me roar. Calm down, ladies. I'm not judging y'all, okay? Let me tell you something right now. I'm talking about the first ladies. I mean, it's like with any women out there, okay? There are people just like you and me. We may have times where we assert ourselves too often, but if we learn to just back off a little bit, then things would have gone smoother. This is where role transgression has a negative connotation. I mean, it's simply an act of behavior that goes beyond one's limits in a mostly counterproductive manner. Now, there are times in which a first lady gets to conduct non-ceremonial activities, but there are also times in which that said transgression can backfire against the person conducting it and others surrounding that person. As you may know from history, societies create rules for people to abide by. And depending on the role itself, there's a large set of norms and expectations that govern behavior. Each person taking the role is obliged to fulfill it. Nancy Reagan behaved in an inconsistent manner by controlling people's actions and formations and relationships surrounding the president. Boy, I tell you, this made people uncomfortable, as too much assertion into people's affairs can cause resentment. Now, I'm not talking out of my ass on this, all right? And excuse me for cursing. I just had to get my point across here. Now, of course, this is pretty amazing here that I get to study about Nancy Reagan more closely. Now, anything that you could find about Nancy Reagan, just try to not be too emotional, but, you know, it's just an advice. It's not a mandate. You can't really help. Now, here I've been looking at sources here that, did you know that there are two documentaries that are in the article itself? They're primary sources because certain documentaries and shows, like C-SPAN's First Lady series and, you know, PBS American Experience, yet these were shown during the time of Ronald Reagan featuring the topic of drug abuse. This was one of the top issues of the day there. if you come across, I already mentioned magazines. There's also a New York Times account there. William Sapphire wrote a criticism against Nancy Reagan, during the second term in office. I don't find him very persuasive, to be honest with you, because he didn't have primary sources to back up his claims, unless none of it is during the time of his reporting and after that. I mean, it's just amazing that people can criticize her not just because she'd done something wrong, but what really sickens me is that people can criticize her too much because she's not a feminist like the rest of the first ladies. Daggummit, man. She doesn't have to be a freaking liberal in order to be a good first lady. Do you understand that? Even a conservative woman gets to be doing the job. You know what I'm saying? Jesus Christ, man. And you know what? I still think that Nancy Reagan does have a job of, tending to her husband, helping him out whenever he needs it. And that involves, since the Hollywood days, they've been working together for quite some time, And, of course, I don't find too many fights between them. And their kids don't experience a lot of that either. Not as far as I know. And, of course, that Nancy Reagan, let me tell you, that she may then how people behave, that's because she's observing her husband and everyone else around him. But she can't overlook the relationships at times. She even got into trouble with a presidential suite by the time her husband's elected president, winning election, or just at least 1981, I believe. But you can look that up for yourself. But she micromanages things like where the president gets to sleep or gets to vacation in, who he gets to associate with, how he implements his policy. Now, she's not too concerned about politics as much as she's concerned about how her husband operates. That's so they're still a married couple, which is the case. Boy, when you read lots of sources, relating to Nancy Reagan, probably a lot more than most people who have been taught in schools like K-12 education, and to some extent, college, whether undergraduate or graduate. Now, folks, since I pretty much covered here, this is the notes I found here are a mixture of primary and secondary sources in the Nancy Reagan article. It's mostly primary since they happen to document what happened during the Reagan administration when talking about it, and firstly Nancy Reagan. But some sources documented are secondary, and they constitute the minority because authors had to analyze aspects of the former first lady after her time in office. Now, what I can find here is the two concluding statements. Oh, and before we go into the after show, and we got less than 45 seconds, if you want to call in right now before the after show begins, call in immediately, 347-855-8578. It won't be long, so don't delay. If you want to talk, then enter the phone number, call in, and you'll be on the call queue. So I'm going to continue discussing about the article, whether you joined it or not. I mean, this is part one. We'll cover the rest, another time. So as we speak, we're going to be in the after show in a matter of seconds. And here we go. Right now is the after show, ladies and gentlemen. Looks like we don't get callers here, unfortunately. But if people are listening here, then great. That's great. Anyways, we got plenty some time here, 15 minutes and counting. So let's continue with this whole Nancy Reagan thing. Now, if I was to come up with a thesis to summarize the article here, I would say the author's thesis is that the first ladies face a challenge of balancing their domestic and presidential roles, respectively. Essentially, that's the same thing. Every female, whether a working mother or a single parent, you know, whether their husbands are in their lives, it may or may not matter. You know, whether they have a job, whether they're domestic, I mean, there's conflicting expectations at what's constituting a woman. Whether you're talking about sex or gender, I mean, it's all confusing at the outset. Believe me. And, of course, that presidency is no Queen of England monarchy, because this is a constitutional republic, not really a direct democracy. I mean, it's not even a monarchy, not even a constitutional monarchy. So, there you go. Hey, so the sources used, well, I already covered that. Sorry. Now, the first statement, that's the two concluding statements. You see, this confirms the thesis by pointing to the ongoing struggle between the first lady and the president to create a balance between two different types of living. It's not easy for any couple to overcome life's challenges on their own, and a presidential couple is no exception. They may be pretty powerful people, but they're just like you and me. We're no different from each other, you know? It takes teamwork on their part to decide on how they're going to... I mean, me and my girlfriend have to have teamwork if we have any problems. We usually reach a compromise. We get to discuss problems like adults, civil people. Anyways, the second statement also supports a thesis in that the job of a first lady does not come out as an easy one. And that's toward the end of the article, like page 779 to 783. Yep. A first lady must be able to handle all the challenges that come with the job, but not every one of them is capable of doing so. And may I remind you of Melania Trump? If she can't fulfill the duties of a first lady, a smart lady like Ivanka Trump run as a surrogate first lady. I mean, Jesus Christ, Melania, if you want to continue modeling, go ahead and do so. Make sure that Ivanka is well-trained, prepared for the occupation. Don't just put her on the spot and just expect her to run the office. That's not exactly how it works. Jesus Christ, man. Now, this implies that if the wife of a president cannot fulfill her duties, then she can pass on the job to someone else. Yeah, probably her daughter or her mother or an aunt. Whatever female that is eligible, you know, I mean, you kind of get the point. If you know where I'm going with this, then I don't have to spell out any further. Yep, it's pretty damn obvious as far as you can tell. That from reading the Nancy Reagan article, what I've learned about first ladies is that they are capable of making their own decisions, all right? Not always bounded by assumptions and expectations their societies and the times surrounding them created and enacted. They have been held to the highest standard in terms of history. Man, this makes you think we guys have it easy. We drink beer, we try to be macho men, while the females are expected to just, oh, let's have a tea party. Let's just sing, conversate together. Let's obey our husband. Today's society. It may happen to some degree depending on where you're at in the world, but with so many women have more rights and responsibilities, privileges, than anybody in past times, you can't expect stereotypes to be enforced. I guarantee it. Anyways, times change, so does aspects like personality, style, and behavior. When people in a high position in society try to do one thing or another in life, then it somehow neglects the other part. It's a no-win situation, for Christ's sake. That's the case with first ladies, as they are reminded to act like a female monarch who's the second to the male one. But they are also reminded to be themselves and participate in their husband's activities. Oh my gosh. This is that's basically 411 here, what we find in this article of, you know, James Spence, the professor, really does a good job, and I can't say that enough. I mean, imagine we have more people like that in news organizations, and we have blogs managed by people who know a lot about politics. Heck, if 4chan could have more responsible people like that, then poll and other things in 4chan wouldn't be so much of a hellhole full of trolls and cyber vermin as much as about well-informed citizens, not always scholars, but you kind of get the drift. And of course, today's Anime Saturday, and I do enjoy watching cartoons. May not be about powerful women or women in office, but there's a good amount of them somewhere. Now, of course, I'm going to announce other topics since I pretty much covered what I need to cover for now. Now, I may discuss more about the Professor Bentis article in a different angle at some point. But the topic of, you know, whether a first lady should be submissive or assertive is what we covered tonight. Now, on to anime news, and stay tuned for more episodes of Real Talk plus other shows on the Indie Hinkle Network, like Dead City Radio and Soda Battles. Stay tuned for more of those episodes, all right? Now, with that all said and out of the way, let's discuss about upcoming anime before we end the after show. I know some of you don't like anime. You think it's like, oh, it's all just perverted women and you're into hentai. No, I'm not going to discuss any of the disgusting crap. But I tell you something, there's some anime that... And keep an eye out, because there's going to be like an English dub version of that coming out, even though it's already Japanese and it's already from a manga. There's already an original run with 12 episodes from July 4th, 2015 to September 19th, 2015. Something tells me that there's got to be, if that's true, then expect that in the coming weeks, in the coming month. Yeah, no pun intended. Now, speaking of politics, this is more of a dystopian kind of... This is more of a dystopian futuristic anime that features the Japanese government cracking down on any perceived immoral activity. You know, prohibiting people from exercising their freedom of speech, censoring what appears to be risque language, to distributing lewd materials in the cities, to the point where all citizens are basically wearing high-tech devices called peacemakers at all times and analyze every spoken word and hand motions for any action that could break the law. Doesn't that sound like 1984 George Orwellian kind of scenario? Yes, don't be surprised. Brave New World were to have this kind of thing. Big government always watches you. You could thank Obama for having an NSA empowered. I mean, screw you, man. Come on. You drove this country down a dark path for 8 years now. Donald Trump's going to make this right, all right? He's going to right the wrongs that you commit, all right? If you hear this broadcast anyways... Sorry I'm getting off keister, but Obama makes me sick on a lot of things. The only good that comes out of him is that this is what happens when people turn a blind eye and not give two rats asses about the seriousness of politics. It's not a game, do you understand? None of this is a game. And guess what anime will come out with a theme of dystopia plus comedy. It's about a woman who's having an underpants on her head, covering her face. And if you don't guess it, I mean, some of you might guess it. If you got the right answer, then good for you. But just in case, the answer is Shimoneta. Shimoneta. That's right. That's based on a Japanese light novel series. It features a protagonist named Tanukichi Okuma, who is a high school student that entered the country's leading elite public moral school to reunite with his crush and student council president, Anna Nishikinomiya. But Tanukichi quickly finds himself entwined with the perverted terrorist Blue Snow, who's Trent, Tundra's Blue in some translations, when she kidnaps and forces him to join her organization, SOT. In Crane and Spring, some lewd, disgusting material across the city as a form of protest against the regulation. You know, pornographic. Of course, that from the way I look at this, I mean, it's all right to have morals in religion and faith in God and whatnot, but forcing it on people? Now, that just screams unconstitutional right there, at least in American terms. Yeah, of course, you'll explore these themes when you watch the Japanese subtitled Shimoneta plus the English dub that may or may not come. But it's certainly an interesting anime. I only watched the first episode, and I have yet to see the second and all the other ones. So there's 11 more episodes on my part. Of course, that Funimation may release that at some point. It has been licensed by that organization, as well as Australian equivalent Madman Entertainment. So, folks, keep your eye on that. And if you're not into anime, that's fine. You can watch something else, like on the internet or TV. Or you can read a book, too. I highly recommend if you want to read something like this, then if you can't afford Shimoneta manga, read George Orwell, Brave New World in a free, like, public domain formats, if they're available on the internet, depending on the countries that they're distributed from, published from. And you get to also have the option of reading Animal Farm, which has a similar theme, even though it's dated, but has lessons learned since the time of the Soviet Union and all that. Anyways, I'm going to end this broadcast, and we got less than 2 minutes. So I want to thank you, everybody, for tuning in with me. And, of course, then we'll have more discussions on First Ladies in the coming broadcast. So if you don't see an episode right away, try to have patience with me, because I may have a lot going on here in the coming weeks. So, same place, same time, 10 p.m. to 10:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. And make sure to change your time zones on Blog Talk Radio so that, or try to recognize the different time zones so you get the idea. And anyways, I'll just talk to y'all tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Sunday's a time of rest. I'll talk to y'all next week, Monday through Friday, regularly scheduled broadcast. I'm your host, Jim Green of Real Talk. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And like I said, I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody. I'm out. I'm out of here. Good night, everybody.